Please turn your Bible now to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to consider the words of verse 10 through to verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, but before we say another word, we will pray for the Lord's help. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we look to thee for thy help tonight. We realize that we need thee. I need thee. I need thee tonight in the preaching of the word so that thou wilt be pleased to honor this word and bring folks to Christ for salvation. O Lord, work and have thine own way. Our God is able. We believe that. Minister to our souls now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It's always a great shock to the system when an individual depends upon someone or something only to discover that their faith has been completely misplaced. There are instances where individuals, for example, have stayed with the same insurance broker or the same insurance company for years, believing, yes, they'll look after me, they'll not let me down, I have faithfully given my money every year, and if I ever need to make a claim, I know all will go well. And then they've had to make a claim, maybe years later, only to discover, oh, they've let me down. My faith in them was misplaced. I didn't think they would have done that. I've heard of many people whose faith has been misplaced with their bank or their building society. They've thought, well, I stick with this one. They'll always look after me. The interest rates are always good. They look after my interests. I wouldn't think of changing and all that hassle. I stick with them because they've looked after me. And then maybe they discover years later, the other crowd, they give far better interest, far better accounts, look after their customers far better. And they say, my faith was misplaced. I got that wrong. I honestly thought that was right. But I've made a mistake. Things like that happen. In this portion of Scripture, the Galatian believers had trusted the words of certain individuals regarding the way of salvation. It was a misplaced trust. Why? Because God says here that they had been bewitched. And that means they had been fascinated and drawn away by false interpretations and teachings. Look at verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Their faith had been placed in these individuals who had bewitched them, misled them. Now, what happened? Well, these individuals had brought in the teaching that faith was not alone essential to salvation. There had to be something else. Something else. And they taught that the adherence to the law of Moses, to the ceremonial laws, was also essential. It was, I suppose, a salvation by works. A salvation, of course, that would have excluded the Gentile. These teachers said, oh, you need to adhere to the law of Moses and the ceremonies. They, of course, were sectarian bigots, and they didn't want the Gentile about the place, so they knew that by teaching this, well, the Gentiles, they don't have any time for the law of God, so that'll keep them out of the church. They had no love for the Gentiles. While I've said they brought in this salvation by works, it was more of a combination type false salvation. And by that I mean a little bit of faith and a little bit of works. Put them all together and mix them all in. Now, Paul had to write to correct this misplaced faith in these false, compromising, erroneous teachers. I wonder, could there be someone in the meeting tonight who believes in a combination of good works and also a belief in God as being necessary to get to heaven? In other words, be good and a good churchgoer. Bring the two together. Is there someone who believes that? It's false teaching. And I trust there's no one here who would think, oh, well, I do my best and the Lord will do the rest. Because that's basically what we're thinking about here. I hope you don't think like that. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not a mixture of faith and works. It's faith alone, in Christ alone, for salvation. And tonight I want you to look with me at these verses 10 through to 13 of Galatians 3. And I want to show you what the gospel really is. Plain and simply, what it is. First point is this. If you're to understand the gospel of Christ, you have to accept that all sinners are cursed. They are all under the curse of God. Look at verse 10. It says there, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Sinners are under the curse. Now, when we read in that verse, as many as are of the works of the law, we need to understand that this refers to those who are attempting to earn salvation by keeping the law. This is what the Judaizers in the church at Galatia were promoting. They were teaching that through doing what the law required and not doing the things that the law had forbidden, that mankind could be saved. In other words, it was through the do's and the don'ts you get saved. Well, that's not right. We're all under the curse. And we don't get saved through do's and don'ts. Absolutely not. But of course, this was a common error in New Testament times as false teachers brought this teaching into the church. And it still prevails today, you know. It still prevails. We all know people who believe that they're going to heaven because they go to church. There are many people still like that. Oh, I go to my church. I don't need anything else. I go to my church. That's what I do. And they believe that's going to save them. Or they say, I don't commit adultery. That's good enough for me. I've been faithful to my wife. I've never looked at another person in my life. I don't break that law. I'm going to heaven. I don't need to be saved through faith in Christ. Or they'll say, I don't tell lies. I'm an honest person. I do my best to tell the truth. As a matter of fact, I don't tell lies. I'm okay. That's what people believe. In essence, they're saying, I believe I'm pretty good. And add to that the fact that the Lord needs people like me to make heaven a better place because good people like me inherit heaven. That's what they say. That's what they believe. Does God say that good people go to heaven? Does God say that? No, absolutely not. He says we're all sinners under the curse. That's what God says. Now, those who hold this erroneous view that we'll get to heaven through a bit of faith and a bit of works and a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of the other, they need to understand what the Bible actually says and what it means when it says we're under the curse. Now, that phrase, under the curse, there in Galatians 3, it's a quote from the Old Testament. It's a quote from Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Let me read that verse to you. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Cursed is the person, basically, who does not do everything that is in the law of God. That's what it means. This statement shows that failure to keep the law of God perfectly brings judgment. It brings it to us. And one violation of the law deserves the curse of God. Cursed here means that the violator must suffer punishment because they have violated God's holy law. It says in the verse, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things No one can keep all the law of God. Absolutely no one. James said in James 2 and 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And even someone like the Apostle Paul, he couldn't keep the whole law. He knew he offended in a lot more than one point. In many points, as we all do. As we all do. Let me try and explain this to you. Because there are people who say, "Oh, well, I don't commit those gross sins, so I should be okay." They don't understand the fact that they're under the curse of God. Here's the explanation. You could have someone in society who is a really honest person. They strive to be honest. Do what's right. Pay their bills. Pay their taxes. Do everything right. They're honest. They're temperate. Don't lose the temper. Not hotheads. Cool, calm, and they're gentle, good folk. Industrious, hardworking. They believe in going out to earn a living. Wouldn't sit at home to do their day's work. They could be patriotic, love their country. Someone who is a really, we'll say a good person, right? I'm not saying a safe person, I'm saying just good in many ways. And then, that person commits one single crime. One single crime. That person is now subject to the law. That person is a lawbreaker. Even if they only did one evil thing. Let's say that person commits murder. But that person was good all along. But now they've broken the law. They must be subject to the penalty of the law for what they have done. Isn't that right? Yes. A person could be honest and commit one act of forgery. And that person, when that person's caught, must be now subject to the law. That person's now a lawbreaker, a forgerer. Ah, but they were honest all their days. That doesn't matter. They've broken the law. That person's now a lawbreaker. And you can't argue, "Oh, but I've always been upright apart from what I just did." It doesn't matter. You're a lawbreaker. You can't plead and say, "Oh, but, you know, I may have committed murder and forgery, but I didn't do anything else. I can't be condemned for..." No, you're a complete lawbreaker. You have broken the law. Isn't that right? Of course it's right. Of course it is. So we've got to understand that whenever we come to the gospel. A person might think they're good in so many ways, but break God's law. That means they're now guilty. A lawbreaker that must be punished for breaking the law. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're under the curse. We are sinners. The Bible makes it clear, folks, we are all sinners. And the law, it requires constant, perfect obedience, which we can't render to the law. We can't do that, not at all. It would require us to be perfect from infancy to death. No one can do that. Sure, we sin against God in thought, word, and deed every day. So we can't perfectly keep the law of God. We're under the curse. We're the lawbreakers. We are the sinners. And of course, the words there, "in all things," that speaks of perfect obedience. The word "continueth" means constant obedience. Ah, we can't do that. Sure we can't. No. We're under the curse. We've broken the law. We've sinned against God. So what happens? Romans 3:20. "Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law will show you that you're a sinner, but the law doesn't save you from your sin. Galatians 2:16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." How is he justified then? By the faith of Jesus Christ. That's how. Folks, we are sinners who are under the curse. Lawbreakers, defiers of God. sinners under the curse. Second point quickly is this, and this is so important, the Savior who was cursed. Look at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now look at this, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath redeemed us, the verse says. That word redeemed, it's often used to speak of buying a slave's freedom or a debtor's freedom, setting them free from the debt that they're in. And Christ's death, because it's the death of a substitute for sin, satisfied God's justice, exhausted God's wrath towards his elect, and now through Christ, we can be saved because he was made a curse for us. It says in Galatians 4 and 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ went to the cross to redeem us. We can't do it ourselves, but he died to do it for us. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He died to redeem us and purify us. And he did that because he was made a curse for us. That's strong, isn't it? Made a curse for us. By bearing God's wrath for believers' sins on the cross, Christ took upon himself the curse that was pronounced upon all who had sinned. He took that curse upon himself. He was made a curse for us when he was crucified. When he offered himself on the cross, he bore our sins as if he had committed them. Think about that. He was made a curse. Think of all the sins that every one of us in this meeting tonight have committed, from myself right down through to the back of the gallery. Christ was made a curse. And he took all of those sins as if he had committed them himself. And he died to save us from those sins. He was punished for our sins. He stood in our place. Our sins were imputed to him, that his righteousness might be imputed to us. The law found him guilty for our sins. That's what it took for God to redeem sinners like you and me. Our Savior was treated as guilty by the justice of God, even by his own Father. Treated as guilty. He was made sin for us, made a curse for us. You know, it's a horrible thing in life if you are made into something you're not, isn't it? Let's say someone has a grudge against you, and that person makes you into something you're not. That person goes out and tells lies about you, tells it all around the town, and people start to believe it. That is a most horrible experience for the recipient of such sin and wickedness. You're made into something you're not. You're not that evil person that this person says you are. But oh, the feeling of it. To be lied about. To be ostracized. To be criticized. To be accused of being guilty of something you're not guilty of. If that has ever happened to you, you know that's a horrible experience. The Savior I'm talking to you about tonight was made a curse for us. He was made sin for us. He was not a sinner. He was the impeccable Son of God. But he was made sin for us. To save us. He was made a curse. He had no sin. He knew no sin. But he was made sin for us. I say to you tonight, what love. What amazing love that Christ would do that and endure that to take our sins and take them away to set us free. What a Savior. What a Savior. Sinners are cursed. And then the Savior was cursed to take away our sins. And finally, salvation from this curse. Look at verse 11 of Galatians 3. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. You know, folks, we're not justified, we're not saved by keeping the law. We are unable to keep the law. By nature, we are lawbreakers and sinners. We sin against God's law. That's what we are by nature. But we can place our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. He was made a curse for us, so that we, through that sacrifice, might be set free from the curse that we're under. You know, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. That's all you have to do. Don't be sitting in church thinking tonight, but I have to do this and I have to do that. No. You have to place your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, and He does everything else. He cleanses. He forgives. He pardons. He delivers. He saves. He does it all. You say, what must I do? What the Bible says, repent. And believe the gospel. Repent and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse for you, and He took away your sin. And all you have to do is believe on Him and be saved. That's what you have to do, because He has done all of the rest and will do anything else that needs done to help you through your Christian life. The work of salvation is complete. It's not a mixture of faith and works. It's faith alone. In Christ alone. We read in 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Sinners are under the curse, but by Christ we can be healed. That's a beautiful word, healed. Healed of all the sin, all the wickedness, all the depravity. Healed and delivered. Christ died to do that for you, to heal you. You need the Lord tonight. There's a hymn that's a favorite of so many in the Free Church. I want to read to you a couple of verses. And I want you to think about these two verses in the context of what I've just said. Because sometimes we can sing these hymns and not let the beautiful words and the beautiful truths sink in. Would you let them sink in tonight? O Christ, what burdens bowed Thy head? Our load was laid on Thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead. Didst bear all ill for me. A victim laid, Thy blood was shed. Now, there's no load for me. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for Thee. But Thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up. Now blessings draft for me. On the cross there was a bitter cup, but love drank it up. He was made a curse so that we could be saved and delivered from being under the curse. You know, folks, Christ is the one you need. Will you turn to Him tonight? Will you trust Him? He will save you from your sin. He has already paid the price and done the work on the cross. Now you must believe on Him and receive Him to enjoy the benefits of the cross work of Christ. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn in closing, number 275. 275. Oh, what a Saviour that He died for me. From condemnation, He hath made me free. We'll sing the first three verses, please. Hymn number 275. And we'll stand to sing. Please, please think about the words. First three verses of 275. Gracious God, we do thank Thee tonight that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance are saved because He died to take away our sin. He died to save us. He is the one that we need. I thank Thee, Lord, for every saved man and woman and young person and boy and girl in this house tonight. But Lord, search out every heart. Lest there be one without Christ, and bring that individual to the point where they will cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. They're under the curse now, but they can be delivered from it by the one who went under it for them, the Savior. I pray, Lord, that Thou wilt have Thine own way tonight. I pray that the grace, mercy, and peace of Almighty God will be the portion of all of God's people here tonight, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen, Lord.